Up to, would it be the top of some of Zion on the base? Omer gad gedi besinuklo, ashri ubushri, yeshbo mishum darke amori. Rashi, Omer gad gedi, is mazel mazli. Gad means mazel. So my mazel should, I should have mazel. The sinuklo, it shouldn't be tired. My mazel shouldn't be tired. Or a person who says, ashri uboshri, yom v'layla. Or the sinuk lo ashri uboshri, it shouldn't be tired, not day or night. So that's something that the goyim used to say as an incantation for hatzlacha, and that's yesh bo mishum darkei amori. That's the gears at least that we have. That is darkei amori. For Yehuda Omer, God ain't well loshna vodizor. It's worse than darkei amori. Darkei amori is tam minig goyim. It's a lav. But Rabbi Yehuda says that God is a lashon of avodah zarah. It's another aver of being mask or shame of avodah zarah. Shenemar ha'orchim legad shulchan. People said it used to make a special table of the avodah zarah, just not for any practical purpose. Set a table for this avodah zarah, God. So God is the name of Avodah Zarah. The Sfarim point out that we don't find anywhere a name God except by Yaakov Avinu's children. Otherwise, in Tanakh, there's nobody else called God. Because it became the name of Avodah Zarah.
There are places.
What?
There are places.
No. The Mikol Bid. But the people don't have them. Okay, the same thing we'll see with Don. Also, no people with the name Don, except for Don Ben Yaakov. Hu bishmo, the he bishmo, right? People switch their names, husband to wife, and wife to husband. Rashi says, hu bishmo, the he bishmo, hu v'ishto machlifin shmo seyem zeb zeb alayla mishum nichush. They change their names at night. There's some kind of incantation to protect them from different kinds of shadim or whatever. So there are shadim of men and shadim for women, and this they change their names, they confuse them. So that's also yesh bo mishum darkei amori. It's also darkei amori. Don dini yesh bo mishum darkei amori. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein don el lashon avodah zarah. Don, the name Don also is a name of avodah zarah. Shenemar hanishboim biashma shomrom biomru chei elohecha don. Right, that the agolim that Yerotham put up in Don in Beersheba, the Avodah Zarah itself got the name Don to it. They used to call it Don. Don dini ischazku chaviyosai. My barrel should become strong. Also an incantation that they said. Don eino choko emori ala avodah zarah mamish. Rabbi Yehuda adds, like he did before, that this is not just the darkei amori, stamala. This is mamish avodah zarah. The chayim mishum kori b'shem avodas gilulin. There's an isser v'shem Elohim achirim lo saskiru al picha. So this is worse than just stam darkei amori. Haomer laorev tzorach ula urvisa shriki. There's also something that the goyim used to say. It's like things today that are superstitious, that they have no gedorim are, but they have no logical reason behind them, no natural cause and effect. And over the Avodah Zarah used to do it, like knocking on wood, or not walking under a ladder, or these kinds of things. Even though not walking on a ladder has a little bit of a seichel, don't want things to fall on you. But in any case, Rashi, Ha'omer la'orev tzorach kishu korei omer la'okein. If neishu mevasir besuros v'lochesh lo lachash zeh. You see a raven, and you call to it because the ravens are known to give over messages. If you understand raven language, and you say this lachash to get the messages from the raven. So that's also darkei amori. Ha'omer, shachtu tarnigol zeh shekora arvis, the tarnigol dola shekora gavris, yesh bo mishum darkei amori. Person says, shech this chicken, or this rooster, because it crowed earlier than the other roosters did, or this chicken because it crowed like a rooster. So yesh bo mishum darkei amori. It's also darkei amori. She shekora arvis ichar yoser mishar chaderot. Well, the opposite. It was later than what's it called. It crowed later than the other ones. So that's a sign that it should be shechted. That's what superstitious goyim used to do. The linyera shekora ka'ore, that it sounded like a raven. It, instead of like a rooster, it sounded like a raven. Shekora gvaris kitarnigol. The chicken sounded like a rooster. Kamo kra gavra. So in those situations, they used to say, shecht it immediately. So if you do that, that's darkei amori. Hamevakaz beitzim bakoso, v'itiach bifnei ho'efrochim, yesh bo mishum darkei amori. So here's a few different shots and what Rashi says. First one is, Eshteva osir, yesh bo mishum darkei amori. Rashi, eshteva osir, kidei shetei bracha mitzuya b'yeno. So I'm going to drink and leave a little bit over. That kind of saying that and doing it is darkei amori. And the purpose for it was that there should be a bracha in the yayin, but the fact that that has no logical way to make a bracha in the yayin makes it darkei amori. Hamevakaz beitzim bakoso, the istigarsi, v'istigarsi makbas. Okay, makbas. Some say mivakas, and some say makbas. So what happens like this? La'achar sheyetzu ha'afrochin, right? Either it means that you break. Mivakas means to break the eggs on a wall in front of the chicks, or after the chicks come out of the eggs, you take the shells and you, you hang them on a makel, the kovosun bekosel ifneim. You hang the eggs on a stick and you put it in front of the chicks. V'zeh l'nachash lo yamusum. It's a superstitious way of making sure that the chicks won't die. So either you break eggs in front of them on the wall, or you, hang the eggshells they came out of in front of them. That's also yesh bo mishum darkei amori. Hamagis bifnei efrochim, yesh bo mishum darkei amori. Hamagis bifnei efrochim, you stir something in front of the chicks, is also darkei amori. Hamarakedes, the hamon neshivin the echad efrochim b'shvir shelo yamusu. If you dance in front of the efrochim and you count 71 efrochim, and that's also a means of that they shouldn't die. Yesh b'mishum darkei amori. That's also something that the goyim used to do, and probably had its source in Avodah Zarah. Hamarakedes lekutach, person is making kutach. Rashi says kishaose kutach merakedes lefana v'hu nichu shi'ischazik. In order that the kutach is a dip that's made with chametz and milk and all different kinds of very strong. It's a strong dip. Acidic, vinegary dip. So in order to be stronger, you dance in front of it. So obviously that's a superstitious kind of thing. Hamashtekes ladoshim, when you make lentils, hamashtekes ladoshim, kishinosenes bikteru, when you put the lentils in the pot, mashtekes is kol ha'omdim, kadeshi is pashlu. You make everybody keep quiet, that there has to be total silence when it starts to boil. Well, the grisim mitzavachas, and they used to scream when they put grisim, different kinds of beans in the in the pot. Yesh bo mishum darkei amori. It's also darkei amori. Hamashtenes bifnei kdei rasa b'shvil shetispashul mehera. Yesh bo mishum darkei amori. She, mashtenis means that she used to urinate in front of the pot when they made what's it called, whatever they're making in the pot, in order that it should cook faster. That's also darkei amori. Aval nosnim kisim shel tus, the shivrei schuchis b'deirus yusus bashu mehera. But you are allowed to put in a strawberry branch or broken glass into a pot in order that it should boil faster. That already is something that the things in the pot absorb the heat and make it boil faster. It's not a superstitious kind of thing. That's that there's a natural reason behind it. The Chachamim ask her all the time to do it, not because it's darkei amori, because it's dangerous, because people may forget to take the glass out of the pot before they put in the food, and you'll end up eating glass. Aval nosnim kisim shel tus, shechazek hu kechometz, umo'il levashel ve'ein zeh lenachesh. Right? It's something, the kisim is a piece of wood from a tus, is a strawberry, mulberry. It's very strong, and it lowers the boiling point of the pot. That's not a nichush, not some superstitious kind of incantation. Aval osru chachom b'shivrei schuchis, afal pi shemishum darkei amori ein bo, osru chachom ne'asakona shelo yivle, you shouldn't end up eating the glass. Tana rabbanan, nosnin bul shel melech letoch haner. You can put a clump of salt inside the crucible where you have the oil, b'shvil shetoyer v'tadlik, in order that it should the salt. Rashi says molly egrof melach, a fistful of salt, b'shvil shetoyer v'tadlik she'ein ze nichush. This is not something that's superstitious. El mesayeya mamashan melach tzolel es Hashem, and the salt makes the oil clear. The yimshach achra psila, it what's it called? It makes it easier. It makes it more fluid, so it goes into the psila, into the wick better. Okay. The nosnin tit becharosis tachasaner b'shvil shetamtin v'tadli. You can also put mud, clay, or earthenware underneath the nair, in order that it should burn longer. Rashi, kit v'charosis mitzanis hashemen. That cools off the oil, the enodolik maher. It burns slower, like putting it in the freezer, putting a candle in the freezer, should burn slower. That's not darkei amori. There's a logical, natural cause to that. Omrav Zutra, haiman de michse shroga de mishka, umegali nafta ka'over mishum baltashis. There's another problem over here. A person who covers a candle of oil, or he uncovers neft, Rashi, demachsi sharga demishra, she'osa lo kisui lamala, memayer lidole. Right? When he puts a cover over it, so it burns faster. I don't know why. L'chor, if there's a cover, there's no wind, l'chor burns slower. But for whatever reason, Rashi says that burns faster. And neft shemegalin also ha'or holich v'nimshecha a'elav u'matir. When you uncover the neft, it makes it burn faster. So you're wasting the oil. So it's baltashkes. Right? You could do something where you can do it and save money and let it last longer. And you're doing it bedafka in a way to make it burn faster, and you don't get any benefit from it. That's baltashkes. You're wasting the oil for no purpose. Chamra v'chaye l'pum rabbanon, ein bo mishum darkei amori. If you say chamra v'chaye l'pum rabbanon, you make a toast, right? L'chayim, right? Wine and chayim l'pum rabbanon is there's no darkei amori in that. Ma'isa Rabbi Akiva, and so too if a ma'isa Rabbi Akiva shasa mishta libno made a party for his son a chasana val kol kos v'kol shehevi omar chamra v'chaye l'pum rabbanon. For every kos they brought, he made a toast. Right, wine and chayim to the mouth of the rabbanon, chayi v'chamre l'pum rabbanon l'pum tamideon, and chayi v'chamre to the rabbanon and their talmidim. Rashi chamre v'chayi k'shemozgi minosin kos omer kein lebracha bi'alma, and that's the chora, the makor for the saying l'chayim when you drink wine or schnapps, I guess, also. Okay, so first of all, Rashi has the gear so that we went through the whole Amud here, that Yesh Bo Mishum Darkei Amorim. The Ran quotes the Ra'oah, who has the opposite gear, so that all the things Gemara mentions Ein Bo Mishum Darkei Amorim. All these things are not Darkei Amorim. God Gediva Sinuklo, all the things that the Gemara mentions are not Ein Bo Darkei Amorim. Okay. And the Rashba and the Tshuva also had that girsa. We'll see in a second that it's an naftamina. Most people don't do these things anyway. There's one thing that there's a big naftamina. The Meiri says, like we've been saying all along, anything that has a logical cause to it, right? It's not stam, a superstitious kind of illogical thing, then there's no Darkei Amorim. The Ma'aril brings down a Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda Chosid that says that the minig ha'olam is to shech the tarnigolis that crowed like a tarnigol. It's brought down Savos Rebuda Chosid. So they ask, Lechora, how could that be? The Gemara says, Beferish, that's Darkei Amorim. So the Maror says that it's only when you, what's it called, say Beferish, that you're doing it because it called. In other words, when you say, shech this tarnigolis, because it crowed like a rooster, and then if you shecht it, it's awesome. But if you don't say anything, you just shecht it, right? That's Gemara says, ha'omer. If you just shecht it without saying anything, that's okay. The Ma'aril argues on that, and he says no. He said the Rebbe Yehuda Chosid had the girsa of the Ran and the Rashba, that all these things are ein bo mishum darkei amorim. Therefore, it doesn't make a difference if you said it or you just did it, right? According to that girsa, it's okay. The Gemara says, b'teresh, it's okay. But according to the Gears of Rashi, it would make no difference whether you said it or you just did it. Still would be awesome. Okay, but the Rebbe Yehuda Chosid had that Gears of the Ra'oh that Ein Bo Mishum Darkei Amorim. Rebbe Yehuda Chosid himself has another Sefer HaKavod, and there he says a different idea, which is hard to understand why it's, but they're not masber, but I have a pshat in it. He says that wherever things happen that are unnatural, he brings down where some woman had three children, mamish, one after the other, in an unnatural way, and then the husband died. So it's obviously the Ribbono Shel Olam is speeding up nature, because this guy was supposed to die, and he was supposed to bring three children in the world, so the Ribbono Shel Olam made nature change in order to bring about what he wanted to do. So there are changes of nature also that a person can take Musar from, that obviously you see the intervention of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the world as a reason, and it's an incentive to do tshuva. So therefore, when you hear a chicken crow like a rooster, it's something she ma'or you to do tshuva, that obviously the Ribbono Shel Olam is changing teva. You see a change in teva. So what does that do? The Gemara says, b'teirish, it's darkei amorim. But it could be, it's only darkei amorim if you do it as superstition. But if you do it because you are, what's it called, being this orer from this, right, to do tshuva, then you're using it for a different purpose than the Amorim. The Amorim uses an incantation for whatever purpose they have. You're using it as an incentive for tshuva, that's fine, right? You're not doing it for the same reason they're doing it. You're doing it for a logical reason. You see a change in nature, it's ma'or you to Hashgachas Hashem, makes you do tshuva. So you can do it. You're shechting it for that purpose, not for the purpose they're doing it. Right? That's fine. Right? If you knock on wood because you like the sound, right? Not because you're doing it to wake up the shadim inside the wood, then l'chora, that's also not awesome. You're not doing it for the same reason they do it, even though you're doing the same thing they're doing. It could be. The Maisa of the Rambam, the Tur, and the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch all pass when it's awesome to shech the tarnagol that rooster that crowed at the wrong time, or that crowed with a different kind of a voice. And the Ramah says that's only where you say the Therish, you're doing it. But if you don't say the Therish, like we learned before, that to answer that Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, then it's okay. The Gra and the Shach both hold that it's awesome even if you don't say anything. And not only that, but what's it called? The Shach says that the whole reason that, again, Rabbi Yehuda Chosid says, okay, he had a different girsa. But the Tur, the Rambam, and the Mechaber had the girsa that Rashi had. And therefore, it makes no difference whether you say it or you don't say it. If you do it, it's Osir, according to the Girsa says Osir, and it's Mutter, according to the Girsa says Mutter. But the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam, and the Torah, Paskin, like Rashi, like that Girsa. The Urayim says that you shouldn't add anything. Only things the Gemara says are Darkei Emori, those are the only things. Anything else is not necessarily Darkei Emori. And the Rambam says anything Kiyotzebo. Anything that the Gemara mentions, and any similar things, which again have no logical, natural reason behind them, they are awesome. I was thinking of another answer for this. Right? The Gemara says Ha'omer, it doesn't say Yeshechted. It says Ha'omer, Shchot, say Yeshechted. I was thinking the Gemara doesn't hold Yeshechted. You just say it. Rabbi Yehuda Chosid says the opposite. If you Yeshechted, that's okay. But if you just say to Yeshechted, that's Darkei Emori. But nobody says like that, but it seems you could say such an answer in the Gemara. Okay. Chamrei v'chayev.
Have we just done this last
thing? What?
We do a lot of things on pi sukulot.
According to the Mi'iri, there's no problem at all. Because it's only those things that Chazal mentioned that are osir. And other things, if there's a minig is that people did them, and there's some logic behind it, then for sure it's not osir. And if there's no logic at all, but the Maisa, that was the many people did it, right? Not just old Avodah Zarah. And it has no known Yisod in Avodah Zarah, then also take on that somebody started this as okay.
Even though it's completely illogical.
Well, there are plenty of illogical things that are done as like you said, like schoolless or whatever. But again, if there's some known reason that it has a source in Avodah Zarah, right? Or people weren't nohig to do it. Right? Stam, all of a sudden somebody came up with this. But if the world was nohig to do it, it's hard to say that it has its makoros in Avodah Zarah. Unless Stam was some reason behind it, then it's not necessarily Darkei Emori.
So we see Darkei Emori, that
Gemara made a chilek,
something.
No, it's not Avodah Zarah, it's Darkei Emori. In chuk means something without a logical reason. Don't do things that Goyim do, right? Doesn't have to be Avodah Zarah, it has to be Ovdei Avodah Zarah did it. In other words, Goyim did this, and what's it called? Even though it wasn't Avodah Zarah, but that's b'chuk oseim, lo se leichu. It's nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. It's not Avodah Zarah necessarily, but it's chuk os ha-goyim. That's it. Okay, the Marsha says that what went on over here is like this. If you drink the Nida, right, properly, so then what's it called, Chamra v'chayi, then you can have wine, drink it properly, and you'll have life from that. But if you drink Shaloba Nida, right, then what's it called, may not lead to chayi. So the Rabbanan drank always the Nida, so they said Chamra v'chayi, drink the wine, and you'll drink it properly, and that'll bring you to chayi. But the Talmidim, they sometimes drank too much. They didn't drink what they should. So there it said, Chaye, we're wishing you life, even if you don't drink the Nida, even if the Chamra is not the way that it should be. So then it was Chaye the Chamra. That's why it changed the reason. That's what the Marsha says. The Chavis Das, the Nesivis, says a little bit different idea. He says like this. He says that you're not allowed to say L'chaim to somebody before he makes the bracha on the wine. It's like saying shalom to somebody before you daven. Right? You don't bless somebody before he blesses the Rabbanu Shalom. On the other hand, what's it called? A Talmud Chacham, the Rav, you're allowed to be makdim, l'chaim, before the Bori Priya Gavim, because that's covered our Torah too. That's also, you're giving covered to the Chacham, that's covered Hashem. So just like the bracha is covered Hashem, so is covered HaTorah, covered Hashem. But to the Talmud, you can't. So therefore, he says to the Rav, you said Chaye v'chamra. Okay? And to the Talmud, you said Chamra v'chay. There's only one problem. The Girsa we have is just the opposite. To the Rabbanon, it said, we said Chamra v'chay. And to the Talmidim, you said, right? So it could be that he didn't have a different Girsa. But he learned Chamra v'chaye means the opposite of what we think. Not that you said the wine first. Chamra, but before you had the Chamra, you had v'chaye. Not in that order, right? Chamra and the chaye was already there. And the opposite where it's chaye v'chamra. Okay, but in any case, because of the strength of the question. It says mamish opposite what the Gemara says, and there is no other girsa here, right? To say that he had a different girsa. There's no, the Duke Sofer doesn't bring down a different girsa. So, Mishum Hadochet, maybe that's how he learned the Gemara. The Yetiv Leig says another idea. He says that when a person drinks, Nichnas Yayin Yotzah Sod, you talk a lot. Okay, and person has a certain amount of words in this world, so it shortens your life. So we give a person a bracha when he's drinking, right? Chamra, even though you're going to drink, but v'chai, you shouldn't shorten your life because you're going to end up talking and babbling and be mamayit your life, right? Because when it comes to Rabbanan, they end up saying Divrei Torah, right? The soul that comes out is Divrei Torah, and Divrei Torah, there's no limit. You can say as much Divrei Torah, it doesn't take off in your life. But stam diburim, you talk too much, stam diburim, you have a certain amount, and once you use it up, that's it. The Mordechai Yafo says another thing. He says wine, it says, was made for nichum avelim. So normally when you drink wine, it's not for chayim. It's for nichum avelim. So I mean somebody died. But what's it called? But it says it was either made for nichum avelim or for talmid chachamim. So it's a talmid chachamim. You say chamra v'chayim. Or chayi v'cham, there's an answer, the difference between the two. There's what's it called, for a Talmud Chacham, you can drink wine even though nobody died. It's all life. But if you're not a Talmud Chacham, then the only other reason drinking wine is for nichum avelim, somebody must have died. Or somebody else says that they used to give wine to somebody who was going to be executed. They used to get him drunk so it wouldn't hurt. So, but the Rabbanan used to drink wine, was not for a simen of mavis. Since the wine is a simen of mavis, or because wine also brought mothers to the world, according to the Shita, that what's it called, that wine was the Eitz Hadas. So therefore, when you drink wine, you get, say, l'chaim. Shouldn't be l'mothers, it shouldn't have all these negative things, it should be l'chaim. So that's the minig, I think, of saying l'chaim by intoxicating things, even wine, comes from here. Okay, hadron lech b'maisha, hadron lech b'maisha, hadron lech b'maisha.